Get on the phone and get in the zone. 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the Baum Show on TalkZone.com at 1-888-463-6748. It's a toll-free call. Alan Cox is our guest, executive coach, a mentor, in other words, to people who make important decisions every day. What he's sharing with us is you can use the same criteria and make it work for you, whether or not you're a leader of 2 or 2,000. Our phone number, as we said, 1-888-463-6748. Alan, I want to refer to you. I don't know if you've seen this most recent study by three University of Chicago business school professors. What they did was they drew on detailed personal assessments of more than 300 CEO candidates to prevent a view of good leadership ingredients. Of those candidates, 225 were hired. They had access, apparently, from what I read, they had access to an assessment evaluation company. What it boiled down to was, and I'm paraphrasing everything, traits that matter in what they came up with. These are traits that matter. Persistence, attention to detail, efficiency, analytical skills, setting high standards. And traits that didn't matter so much, strong oral communication, teamwork, flexibility or adaptability, enthusiasm, and listening skills.
Those last ones are the ones that don't matter, they say. And
that's what this particular survey pointed out. The ones that, the traits that seem to matter the most, and the ones that not so much. Listening skills, not so much. Enthusiasm, not so much. Flexibility, adaptability, teamwork, strong oral communication. Yet I kind of wonder, I really don't want to dissect this, but I really kind of wonder if you enter into a situation of leadership in which there's much to be done, wouldn't you need the not so much stuff first?
I think so. Of course, I'm not familiar with the study, and there are brilliant people there in the business school at the University of Chicago. I don't understand this because at first there, I was beginning to track on, for instance, on the oral communication. I was going to go where I was going to go with that one, if it proved to really be something, was the oral person, the great communicator like Clinton or Reagan. That's just great, and it's wonderful for a person to have that kind of capability to inspire. But it takes me over into the subject of charisma, because there are all kinds of people who are very effective in their jobs and are not charismatic. And there are all kinds of people who are charismatic and end up failing because they end up being a little bit shallow and they don't have that persistence in the first element, the first group of traits. And so I was going to go there, but to take out teamwork and to take out flexibility and adaptability and listening, that to me would be a recipe for failure, because nothing, absolutely nothing happens in this world of ours today without collaboration. And if you ask me, that's another word for teamwork.
Do you address the issue of balanced life in your book?
Yes.
Leadership at any level, obviously, my perception is, and I want to get your view, that we're living in a in kind of like what I call a teeter-totter world, where the teeter-totter is more on one end than it is the other. Work is 50, 55, 60, 65, 70 hours a week and more. The more successful you get, the more is asked of you. So while you spend more time succeeding, you spend less time succeeding at maybe what's really important in a balanced life.
Well, it's true. There's always a trade-off there. And if you end up being just overly committed to one and neglectful of the other, you will eventually be a person who has less and less to give. I'm being Johnny One Note here, but if you really discover what it is about you that is singular, this value, your value proposition to the world, when you learn to give that, it turns out to be very satisfying. And to put it another way, you're more willing to go home. You're more willing to close the book and close the door and go home, because you feel like the day has been rewarding. And when you're doing what you really do well, you don't have to do it for 18 hours. You can do it for 8 or 9, and if you're really a very busy person, you might, and when there are certain special projects in your life, of course we work 7 days a week in 20-hour days, but that's not a permanent condition. By and large, you do your work and you go home.
I recall, Alan, what really fascinated me, and this was a few years ago, you read stories every day of CEOs and people who lead worldwide, yet this particular CEO, who led a large pharmaceutical company, eventually left, was a man who always showed up at dinner time at home at 6 o'clock. Pretty young guy, but felt it was necessary to maintain this balance, even though he was leading a 8 to 9 figure corporation in terms of sales in the billions. He was home every night to have dinner at 6 o'clock. How many people involved in the leadership skills you're looking at do that?
Well, I did have a great experience working with a man named Don Kelly, who I'm talking locally here. This is a Chicago company. It got bought by Conagra out in Nebraska, but it was originally in Chicago, one of the major meat packers in the world, Swift & Company. And then it became S-Mark as they began to acquire other businesses. And it got to be a $6, $7, $8 billion sales business. The CEO of that company, when I worked with it, was a guy named Don Kelly, and I can tell you he worked a 36-hour week. And
a 36-hour week?
Yes, and he played a lot of golf, and he laughed, and everybody enjoyed his company, but he had an incredibly analytical mind, and he could see through stuff, and he could see through people, and he could see through situations. And he called them as he sees them, but then he also had 4 key parts of the business run by 4 terrific executives, and he trusted them to run their parts of the business, and he just let them do their thing and do it well, and he stayed out of their way.
So we're getting to the nitty-gritty of this conversation. It's really kind of a lead-in. You're describing this gentleman. There are a few others that I think we've all read about and heard about. But for the average guy and gal who are listening to this show or not leading hundreds of thousands of people, what are you saying in a nutshell in terms of the 3 most important criteria for successful leadership, regardless of how many people you're leading?
You mean what would be?
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want from the book and from our conversation? What do you want the takeaway to be?
I want the takeaway to be, number one, figure out what I have going that nobody else in the world has going and that the world wants. And the world wants whatever it is that you've got going that's unique. Believe me, there is a place for what you have. There's a place for your gift to be shown in an unusual way, and it will be satisfactory and satisfying to people to be the beneficiaries of it. But leading into that, there has to be an openness to explore and find out what that is and to look at yourself. Then I think so a self-assessment, I don't even like to use the word brutal, but I mean by that that you're so objective, you're willing to take a look at yourself and where your gifts are, where your strengths are, where your interests are, what you've been paying too much attention to and what you've been neglecting and not paying enough attention to, and getting all that stuff understood. Reclaiming a gift you have that you have put away because you don't act on it because you're afraid to. Even if you did, you were afraid it wouldn't be good enough, so you've stuck it away in the attic someplace. You need to pull it out and use it. So I think what it comes down to is this flexibility and adaptability, I think, is crucial. You got to be light on your feet. You've got to be a good listener. And so once you know who you are, and once you then adopt a goal in your life that is really authentic for you, and I'm talking about an all-encompassing goal that affects all your life, not just your work, you learn how to do that in the first 2 chapters.
You're talking about honesty, aren't you?
Honesty, yeah, honesty with self.
How honest can you be about yourself?
Well, I think you can be if you get off and do some self-reflection and quit trying to be a wannabe, going in the wrong direction, but acknowledge for the first time and some quiet time you spend with yourself to figure this out. The book teaches you how to do that.
Alan, I've enjoyed our conversation today. It's called The Inner CEO, Your Inner CEO, Unleash the Executive Within. Alan Cox is the author.
I would like to say before we sign off here,
yeah,
you've got some people from other parts of the world, go to my website because there are a couple of benefits. Number one, go to the website, yourinnerceo.com. They can download Chapter 5 free. The title of the chapter is Boards, but it is the chapter in the book that tells you how to work with people. And so I think it's useful, and it's, and then you can find out if you think you might like the rest of the book based on your experience with that chapter.
A pleasure having you with me today. We'll do it again. Count on it. Have a great holiday.
Terrific. Thanks, Dave. Same to you.
Alan Cox, my guest, Your Inner CEO. Ingredients of leadership start with honesty. I'll be honest with you at the end of our show today as we prepare for the beginning of the Thanksgiving to New Year's season. And the get hardly anything done time of the year. Here's my lament for the good old days when Christmas music was played near Christmas and not before Veterans Day. When people didn't get up at 3 a.m. still stuffed with turkey and dressing so they could stand in line at 4 a.m. in the cold to get into a store at 5 a.m. to save a few bucks on something that is moronically called Black Friday. How truly laughable we've become, my friends, as a society, when actually spending time and thought in picking out presents has given way to electronic shopping for a gift card. To paraphrase an old saying, when you care enough to send the very best plastic wrapped in a to-be-used-by-this-date ribbon. Who knows? Maybe one of the future do-nothing Congresses will officially move Christmas from December to September, and we can start our holiday shopping on Memorial Day. Now that's keeping with the spirit. From all of us on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com, producer Chris Whitting, engineer Dave Olson, happy Turkey Day, and go easy on the dressing and pumpkin pie. Mama, get the coffee ready. The kid's on his way.
You've been listening to The Dave Baum Show with today's compelling talk radio. Be sure to join Dave again for more fascinating and knowledgeable guests, stimulating conversation, and your phone calls on the TalkZone phone lines. The Dave Baum Show, right here on TalkZone.com.